Good evening, everyone, and happy 4th of July. I want to say also on behalf of the parishioners of our cathedral and our cathedral staff, welcome to our guests who are with us this evening for Holy Mass. We're honored by your presence and your participation this evening. From the second reading, St. Paul's letter, three times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Power is made perfect in weakness. Sounds counterintuitive to our ears. Our culture isn't always comfortable with weakness or failure. In this age of endless upgrades and prizes for all, we don't like to tolerate failure or rejection, much less understand either one of those as a means of growth or an opportunity to grow, especially to grow in the virtues of courage, resilience, understanding and believing that God will guard us, take care of us, and lift us up. Rejection of Jesus in his hometown by those with whom he had grown up, those who loved him first. He was not able to work any miracles, says St. Mark. Hardly a positive advertisement for the Christian faith. Yet rather than gloss over failure, St. Mark rubs the point home. Look at what Jesus says. A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country or town, among his own kin, and in his own house. It must have stung for him. The sentence is constructed to hone in and end on that final note of rejection of Jesus by even his closest family. And for him to be upfront and honest, even they have no faith in him. That astonished him. Little surprise. So why tell us this? Well, the episode first looks back to the Old Testament prophets, and it underscores the prophetic authority of Jesus as he experiences the rejection which they experienced as well, including Ezekiel. But it also is a warning to look forward to the events in Jerusalem, when Jesus will preach in the temple only to provoke the hostility of the establishment. That's going to trigger, as we know well, his arrest and then eventually his execution. So this experience, this episode in Nazareth, is a foretaste of what Jesus will encounter in Jerusalem. And I also think that it's there to help us appreciate the personal desolation which rejection brings to Jesus. St. Mark stresses how much it hurt. Why? Because what looks so much like failure and what costs so much in desolation is also going to lead to glory and an unbroken love that cannot be fractured anymore. And that's going to happen with the resurrection. But before that crisis plumbed the depths of human abandonment, we must always remind ourselves, fully divine and also fully human, he shares that with us. And that matters. It belongs to his and our prophetic office to proclaim a gospel that may at times cause offense and be rejected. The aggression and intolerance of some people reminds us of the anger triggered when the gospel challenges us. This pattern of preaching met by unbelief is, in some sense, a necessary part of discipleship. It happens in every age. It's happening today. But what that brings to us is that opportunity. That opportunity to gain that resilience, courage. But in imitation of Jesus, we don't do that on our own. In the imitation of St. Paul, we don't do that on our own. It's the reliance on God's assistance and his grace, and most importantly, God being very near to us. God will do what God wants with our service or witness, as he does what he wants with Ezekiel's preaching in our first reading. For all of them, again, counterintuitive, that witness isn't measured by perceptible results. But what matters is that we find the strength from God to continue. I learned that lesson long ago. St. Mark knew that Christians must reckon on possible rejection and desolation even within their own family, just as Jesus came into conflict with his extended family. St. Mark has related embarrassing family scenes before what we hear in this portion of his gospel. There have been attempts by Jesus' family to make him to be quiet, to ask him to go away, to stop his ministry in what they understood that at the very least, he seems unstable. But it's worth thinking about why this lack of faith hits those who knew Jesus as a family member. It's why Mark emphasizes that he was a carpenter, or at least the son of a carpenter. It's as though we are prepared for God to work wonders anywhere except on our own doorstep. Would it be too threatening to acknowledge God's power at work so close to home? They had yet to realize, part of the struggle, who he was beyond that carpenter's son, that he was indeed the Messiah, that he was indeed the Son of God. And then we're led to St. Paul. St. Paul could be the heart of this gospel that brings us hope. Our own feelings, our own failures, they're very real, at least mine are. Broken relationships, faltering friendships, attacks on those trying to practice genuine pastoral leadership with charity. The list goes on and on. But the hope according to St. Paul, even though that messy reality is part of our lives, it's not the end of the story. And in the meantime, because of God guarding us, lifting us up, we can dare to be honest about those failures, to look them squarely in the eye and live through them. And if we imitate St. Paul and we imitate Christ, we'll learn from them. Because God, Christ, has been there too. He's entered the depths of our human condition. to rescue us, to lift us up. Some 40 years ago, when he was the rector at the Jesuit School of Theology at Berkeley, a place where I had the benefit of graduate studies many, many years ago, Father Buckley wrote a letter to the ordinands, those who were soon to be ordained priests. It has become widely circulated and reprinted. Now, while his immediate audience was those seminarians in the final stages of preparation, I think his main point applies equally well to all of us. Keep in mind St. Paul. Keep in mind Ezekiel. All the great prophets of the Old Testament. Father Buckley notes that as Americans, we tend to estimate a person's aptitude for a profession or for a career by listing someone's strengths. Then naturally enough, we also tend to judge one's aptitude for priesthood by considering a person's gifts, their talents, their achievements. And this, Father Buckley says, rather startling, is disastrous. He argues instead that the focus should be on whether an individual is weak enough to be a Christian. Does the person know suffering, failure? Has he or she had to live with confusion, self-doubt? It turns into what St. Paul would experience. It's in my weakness that I discover my strength. Because in my weakness, I might just tend to wallow there. But learning to be resilient and trusting in God, we're lifted out of it. It's also the point stressed by St. Ignatius of Loyola. I must be in a Jesuit frame of mind this weekend. It comes from the prayer at the very end of his spiritual exercises, if you're familiar with them. They're very, very simple, but very helpful. And at the end of the exercises, the prayer concludes, "Give me only your love and your grace. With these, I will be rich enough and will desire nothing more." St. Paul could have written that prayer. Christ could have written that prayer. The great prophets, including Ezekiel, could have written that prayer. So today, let us find our solace and our serenity there, despite our weaknesses, despite our frailties, despite relationships that are fractured. There's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity to turn to the one who will turn those around for us. In my weakness, I find my strength.